Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the first All About Reality of 2023. The season is over, the new season has begun, and the site has been rolled over. There is no off season, as we know, with All About Reality. And we are joined by our All About Reality Listener League champion and another wingman, another contributor, another host of All About Reality. Ryan Krawczyk is coming in tonight, and Matthew Goodwin, welcome back. Gentlemen, it's so good to see you. Ryan, the floor is yours. Give everybody a shout out, a hello. Many people will remember you. And yeah, let's take it away, gentlemen.
Yeah, how's it going? Thanks for having me on. I'm Ryan. You can find me on Twitter at WhatGibbsFF, like Joe Gibbs. And happy to be here. Happy to be part of the podcast league last year and get my feet wet in that first season and win it on the first year taking over an orphan team, which was pretty rare. But I had a lot of cap space. I got to put my own little flavor to it, which helps.
Indeed,
Yeah.
you played it well with the flavor. Goody, welcome back. How's your flavor going on out there on the West Coast?
Well, let's just say you guys both have names ending in ick, but my teams were the ick of fantasy last year for so yeah, no, I think things are going here, you know. Ryan, one thing I did want to talk to you about. So you did take over that orphan team. You won. The key players are like in one quarterback league, Josh Allen. You had a monster year from Josh Jacobs, who I think you paid significant money to. I'm not sure if you inherited him or not. So just can you real quick, because we're going to do a little kind of a lightning fast pod based on our family situations and all that. What do you think like the couple move instrumental moves that like were critical to you winning this league were this year?
So it was a one quarterback league, but it was still a pretty heavy sway to quarterbacks scoring. So I didn't mind paying a little bit extra for Josh Allen, paid a little bit above market for him, but I felt like that gave me good competitive advantage and actually kind of built the team to have some longer term guys like Jordan Love and Deshaun Watson that I like for the future, even though it's, like I said, one quarterback. I just like that reliability at the position. Then I kind of focused on the running backs like Josh Jacobs and Najee Harris. I like those steady, stable of running backs. And I had David Montgomery, who had a great year last year, too. And then I was just for wide receiver, kind of picking at some of those value guys. There's some veteran receivers that tend to overperform, I think, what analysts put them at every single year. And Tyler Lockett was one of those guys for me this year that I felt like, for whatever reason, tends to go at a pretty good discount every single year. So I've been getting him in a bunch of leagues and I'm strong at tight end with George Kittle and Darren Waller and Dalton Schultz. So just kind of a really good balanced team. And then I had Debo Samuel, picked up some young guys that were cheap, like Romeo Doubs, who helped me get through the early part of the season while he was performing. And some of my receivers were coming back from suspension or injury. And then Tony Pollard was lightning in a bottle too for me last year. So just kind of a really balanced attack there.
Yeah, my hat's off to you. I mean, part of the, you earned your way on here like a gladiator just fighting through the crowd. I really appreciate like right away I was DMing you during that auction and you were sniping values and really like pulling some good just really like team constructing in a way that like I admire and that Goody and I both like. And I but I honestly I was kind of writing you off. Like I thought I had this in the bag with like a strong Jared Goff was my big bid in the auction, and I already had Kelce and Andrews. I already had Justin Jefferson. I bid big for Barkley. That paid off. I had Justin Taylor, Jonathan Taylor rather. I thought I was like set. I thought I was going to be coasting in, and it was really, and I was, yeah. Like this was one of those ones where, like, you are demonstrating what we always advise our listeners: just keep like the whole sell off before you need to. I think you try to put your team in a contending spot every year because anything can happen once the playoffs hit. And I think you did a really admirable job of that. Like you want teams that have a puncher's chance if you're not the favorite, and that your team was potent enough and delivered the knockout punch in the. I couldn't believe it. I took Goody. I took shots from Ryan in both the Friends of the Pod League. He knocked me out of the money, and then this league, I was like, what? Why am I letting this guy into my leagues? Like, I just want to talk to
Yeah.
him on the pod, and then just keep him away from my leagues. You know what I mean? So.
So I think one big thing for the listeners is, I think what people don't realize is if you go into the auction drafts with a good understanding of what players go for value wise, and you could kind of mock that out and then look at the available cap space and kind of chart out for yourself what you think guys are going to go for at auction. If you have that good plan going into it where you're kind of structured and not overspending or getting flustered as guys come off the board, like, I know exactly what I want to spend for every single guy, and I don't really go over budget generally. And when someone's a bargain, like a Tyler Lockett was last year for that league, I pounced. And I had just kind of gone in and I said, I'm going to get some really big high-end guys. And I think if you look, like, Josh Allen was one of the guys that was open at auction and went a little bit above for one quarterback league. And I made sure I was going to spend on Debo Samuel and just kind of load up that way. But I never punt in these dynasty leagues generally, especially with the salary cap and everything. I tend to just try to value hunt in the draft and find those guys that are being undervalued at auction.
Now, it's funny that you keep characterizing it as a one quarterback league, because as a 16-team league, it was super flex. So most people.
Well, that's the other one. He's talking about the Friends League.
Oh, you're talking about the Friends League.
Yeah, the Friends League. Yeah, yeah.
He's talking about that. He's talking about the podcast guest league versus the listener league, where it was 16 teams. Now we're down to 14, which will be add a little bit more fun dynamic of having hopefully some more competitive rosters on a weekly basis.
Yeah, Luke, and I think I take a little bit of – I think we have similar strategies for the super flex, where, like, anytime we see at auction a quarterback that's a starting quarterback that's kind of going at auction too cheap, like, I'm in on all of those guys, and I flipped those for picks over the last couple of years, and that's actually been how I rebuilt that team that I took over that was an orphan that was in really bad shape and turned that around in 2 years. So it was just – kind of flipping guys like Sam Darnold right when he got traded to Carolina, drafting Wentz and then moving him before the season even started when there were some injuries at the position. So that's always my MO, as I'm snagging those quarterbacks in those super flex leagues that are starters and kind of undervalued from a salary cap perspective.
Yeah, quarterbacks are currency, huh? That's it is. I never thought I would find myself bidding, like I said, at auction on Jared Goff, and he saved the season. Like he had me as the high point scorer throughout, and his performance. And that's the thing, people were dismissive, but I was like, he's a starting quarterback.
Not me.
Yeah,
I liked Goff. I was coming at you on that.
Goff keeping his job next year.
That's a good question. I already did the Ryan Kane maneuver.
So.
I traded him for a first round pick at this point.
Real quick to kind of put a bow on the Friends of Reality Pod League for the podcast guests who've come on, you know, like the Salados of the world and Bob Long and whatnot, and there was a charitable donation that went along with your winning, and I just want to highlight who I have a sneaking suspicion where that money I sent you went, but I just, like, for the listeners. Well, let's hear it out loud just so they can become familiar with it.
Absolutely. So I'm a big Washington Commanders fan, and my whole account actually started off as it's fantasy football and Washington Commanders accounts. But there's a charity called the Hog Farmers, and it's a bunch of Washington Commanders super fans. You've probably seen them in the stands all dressed up. They got a whole little get up going. That's great. And they do charitable donations for children affected by pediatric cancer, and they'll do care packages. They'll do a lot of really great stuff for the kids there. So that's one that's near and dear to my heart. And then I also donated some of it to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I've had some health issues in the past for myself, and that's one that's near and dear to my heart. So those are the two places where the money went there. It was awesome to kind of put that element into it. I love a league where you get that charitable component to it, where you get that feel good piece to it.
Right. I love those charities, and well done. Yeah. And we really, Goody and I definitely appreciate, and for our listeners, we'll be reaching out to the extent that we can to all those great, you know, we had the Graham Barfields of the world, and we've had some really great relationships that we've built up over years in this pod now. We're going to keep that coming. And those guys want to keep going with the Friends Reality Pod. It speaks to what brings us all together here, which is like Reality Sports Online. And these guys have liked the format. They're into it. They're coming back. So let's keep coming after it. Hopefully Crown and I will be going head to head in that one and in the listener league. And
every year, man.
Goody. And you now here's a fun story. Now Goody is a busy man. Like, as many of you know, he's a busy man.
I think we all are at this point.
Yeah. But he's a hustler. he like the behind the scenes work that he puts in can't be overstated, and like his connections in the industry has gotten us some really fun people on, including kind of the godfather of all fantasy in Matthew Berry. And but he was ready to like hang up his All About Reality Listener League cleats, like toss them over the line, call it a day. And then a game happened. Now I don't want to but I think we should start off on something fun and then good news. Now, I don't remember. It was a game in reality, and it was something historic. Goody, can you remind me what you said in the chat that led you to come back to that league?
Yeah, I just want to put a little context on this. This day was just kind of a crazy day. I mean, first off, it was day after my birthday, and it was like middle of winter here in Seattle, and start watching like the Minnesota Vikings come back against the Indianapolis Colts. And I had already kind of like, I hadn't traded any picks, like made any moves in that league. You know, it was kind of a fringe playoff team. And I kind of got caught up and was like, you know, everyone was talking about the game in the group chat. And I was like, Vikings come back and win this game, I'm coming back in the league. Like, and you know, just kind of threw it out there. I got caught up in the hype, and everybody, it was funny because like some people like weren't paying attention to the thread, and I don't think I've ever been like so loved in my life, like not even by my family or anything, like when people realized like, oh crap, like Goody's coming back to this league. So I'm back in the listener league, and I love the group. It was just kind of a matter of how many leagues I'm in, and just really like, you know, being able to trade and do activity in a way that I think is fair to myself and to others. So like I'm pretty sensitive to that these days, and I mean we're in season 6 of All About Reality, and like, I mean, Luke has mentioned, we have been fortunate to have like really great guests, but it's hard enough just to get the three of us together right now, let alone a guest. So I think we're going to kind of go back to our strategic roots on some of this. And if we can sprinkle a guest in from time to time, all the better. But like in terms of giving advice to people, listeners new and old, and we thank you from all the corners of the world that you actually do this from, male, female. We've got great group of people. And I mean, one topic I wanted to jump into, like what I've really been thinking about noodling on, because I did, you know, a couple of years ago, I invested in, I guess it's the class of 2020. And that was like the pandemic year where we all had a little more time to put into that rookie class. And really what the fifth year, you know, those folks are coming up for the fifth year transition tag option right now and all in Reality Sports Online. And, you know, depending on what the league dynamics are, league life cycles at all sorts of different prices. And I, you know, so I've kind of put together some of those prices in different leagues. And first off, I'm going to just kind of put a list of who I'm guessing went in the first round of, you know, consensus in all these leagues, especially a super flex league. So I think regardless of super flex or not, I think you had 6 running backs most likely went in the first round in 2020 that may have fifth year tags. First one being CEH, Jonathan Taylor, who I think probably is a no-brainer for most. J.K. Dobbins, which is an interesting pivot point thinking about. Cam Akers, same deal. DeAndre Swift even, like, you know, has been productive when he's been on the field, but there's been some injuries. And then Antonio Gibson from the Commanders. A.J. Dillon is the other running back who's had some production, but I think his ADP was most likely in the second round, thereby not being a fifth-year extension candidate here. So let's think about those running backs in a vacuum for a second. But I'm going to list the receivers, 3 quarterbacks, maybe 1 tight end, you know, and we'll see if there's anyone we want to take out of that pool with we don't think are first-round picks. So next one, Jerry Jeudy, C.D. Lamb, Justin Jefferson. Obviously, I think you're giving the fifth-year extension to him. Michael Pittman Jr. is probably on the fence, first, second rounder. Same thing with Brandon Ayuk. T. Higgins was another one that maybe you could have gotten some value in the second. And then on the quarterback side, I'm guessing in all super flex leagues, Burrow, Herbert, and Tua all went in round one. And I would guess that, you know, a couple of those guys probably even in just a 12-team regular league went in the first round. And then tight ends. If you got someone who's tight end happy, maybe Cole Kmet went first round, depending on how deep your league is there. And, you know, the beauty of the fifth-year transition tag is it's basically like a top 10 positional average versus top five. So there is an opportunity where you're getting in probably appreciably less at certain positions than the franchise tag. But, you know, also you're giving someone a top 10 salary at their position, and you have to determine whether their productivity is worth it. And you have to do it this offseason in advance to get that fifth year to extend them through the end of the 24 season. So, like, in my personal situation, sorry, I'm doing a lot of talking. My personal, like, in the one quarterback league that I'm in, I have, you know, the quarterback position is $18.3 million. The running back position is $23.6 million, and the receiver position is $31.5 million. So first question to you two guys is, in a one quarterback league, given that the Bradys of the world are retired, Drew Brees is retired, you know, all that, are you, like, what's your strategy with a guy like Joe Burrow? Are you in a one quarterback league, are you playing the game where you're not going to pay the guy $18.3 million and you're going to push the chips to just get to the extension and hope that you're not building that base from the $9 million of his rookie contract to $18.3 to then, you know, the year after? Because that, like, any extension for a transition tag player, I confirmed this with Kyle English today via text, is not on the offseason cycle. The only players on the offseason cycle are players that are franchise tagged. So this is like our own little strategic element, game theory stuff, reality sports online, at the quarterback position or just in general. What's your strategy with the fifth year option? Are you taking it wherever you think there's value, and then you'll just deal with the longer term extension at that time and just get the extra year at, like, whatever, like, if you perceive market level or market rate arbitrage, even if it's only like a five player arbitrage? Or are you hoping that, like, hey, I'm not going to give Justin Jefferson his fifth year, or whomever these guys are, the fifth year at maybe a slightly below market rate, because I want to get him locked up for 4 years a year earlier? But given that you have other player, you know, the beauty of the fifth year transition tag is you can do this across. If you have three guys you picked in that rookie draft or traded for, you can give the option to all three players, and as long as you have the cap space in 24 to do it.
Yeah, let's walk back from that first question. And just to be clear for our listeners, right, I'm used to having students in front of me, so I'm going to say it this way, right? What we're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong here, gentlemen, is in the fifth year, if you extend it. So right now you'd be making a decision for the salary, not for the upcoming season. But if you opted for the rookie, this tag, that immediately locks them in for the following season. So for the 2023-24 season, right? So that's
what. So they'd be a free agent after 24.
Correct.
Or they'd be long-term extension eligible during the 24 season.
Correct. So that's part of the analysis that you just offered, because the other tack you can take is, if you don't have anybody else worthy of that extension on your roster, then it's viable just to, like, bring them back and extend them as you normally, like from their rookie contract.
Like in week five of this year.
Extend them week five for the next 3-4 years, whatever the algorithm gives us. Like when they, right. So that's the one piece. And I think that's a good starting piece. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, the other thing you can do is go rookie tag and then franchise tag, if you want to play it that way too, if I'm not mistaken. Is that accurate?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. So you have all those pieces, right? Like, and I mean,
yeah, you can extend off of any cycle of those. Well, like your transition tag year, if, say, in that example you gave, if Justin or Joe Burrow, say, is 18, you'd give him that transition tag. You buy the extra year at $18 million versus $9 million. Then he plays out that $18 million year. In that year, he's eligible for that extension. Whereas a franchise tag, you have to do it before the season even starts with the extension. So I think there's a couple things that always come into play. I'm always looking at the franchise tag value, right? Because I know that I can tag and extend a guy, and you get a pretty good sense of what that's going to be going into the season. You know, you look at some of the contracts coming up, you could bump up the value of the top five a little bit. And then it also depends on, you know, I think we said it before, but who else do you have that's available for an extension? And you really got to be playing, looking at the contracts in your league and deciding where's the value going to be. Where is that value going to be on the transition tag versus extending midseason? Because if, say, all of your wide receivers are really, you know, low valued contracts in a league, you would want to let that receiver kind of play out into the season and extend him during the year. But I think I tend to just, it's all situational dependent, unfortunately, which isn't a great answer, but it's always just looking through the lens of what's that franchise tag going to be? What can I extend him on off of the tag? Is it worth it to do that or let him play into the season? And to your point, have a lower base potentially for the extension, but the transition tag's tricky. It takes a lot of that, extra thought. Sometimes I do like to buy that extra year though, if I have multiple guys that have potential extensions, and just, you know, take that little bit of a discount if they're that good of a player.
So do you want to get into specifics?
Sure. Let's talk this way. I mean, one specific I would say is the NFL gives us an analog for this. When we talk about it, everybody got really worked up over the Daniel Jones contract over the past couple of weeks and the money that he's going to be getting. And I look at the transition tag, the rookie transition tag, a little bit like that. Like, it looks expensive and daunting when you first look at it, but then you have to factor in how high the cap's going to be that year. And it's, as per a percentage of your cap, it's far less daunting when you consider that. And both of you have played enough leagues with me that I prefer to use all my tools. I prefer to use all but bullets in my chain. In fact, I made a pretty egregious error in the All About Reality Listener League this year when I was traded Daniel Jones midseason for my run. At one point he came up with like $18 million a year extension, and I didn't drop it on him. And it was literally just an error on my part to not do it. I thought I had done it. And then the tag period elapsed in week 13 or whatever, as I was managing other leagues. So I hate leaving bullets in a chamber like that are available to you as a GM. I just think it's a little absurd. So my rule of thumb, and if we get away from just the, it all depends on the situation, which is true, as Ryan said, I tend to use the extension on wide receivers. I tend to use the franchise tags on running backs because I like going year to year with them and I don't mind paying them for the year. And then I would probably use this tag on anybody that I could do it, because I just want all the bullets to be used.
Yeah. And I like the point on the running backs, because, you know, they do tend to have that shorter shelf life. So if you're talking, even if it's a 3-year league with the rookie contracts, but a lot of them are 4, you know, if you're looking at that transition tag, you could go 4 years on the rookie deal. You get that 5th year option, and then you could tag and tag if you want. You could have a guy for 7 years and never give them an extension. And it's really the shelf life of a running back for the most part. So I do agree with that. I tend to give the extensions in a super flex. It's going to be towards the quarterbacks and wide receivers and to play more of that tag game with the running backs, and then just keep restocking via the rookie draft.
Yep.
Yeah. The to get into some more specifics though, I guess, like the first part of this is like, it all depends on who's up for auction and where your auction may be headed. You have big receivers, big quarterbacks in the super flex league going into the auction, then that can change the dynamic completely. And then these players, when they do come up for their multi-year extensions, could be bonkers. So but going back to the running backs, for instance, as a pool, I think, you know, let's say in you know, a one quarterback league, or even like the All About Reality League that's 14 teams, Luke, you have CEH and Taylor, and I assume in CEH's case, you're not giving CEH $37 million, and in my one quarterback league, running backs are worth 23.6, and I'm guessing you wouldn't give CEH 23.6 even on a 5th year. But you would give that to Taylor, and I assume you'd probably give, I mean, the question is, would you give Taylor $37 million for his 5th year? My guess is you probably still would do that, just to extend that life based on what you're saying. So would you confirm that? Would you not, you know, of course, wait out the offseason on injuries, but if the offseason was ending today or whatever, and you had to decide on Taylor, would you be giving him $37 million for his 5th year?
That's precisely right. Exactly. And that's a good point. I'm glad you said it. I'm as guilty as the next one of tinkering, and I want to immediately hit finalize tag and get my roster set. But I do think it's worthwhile to wait until as long as your league's dates allow you to wait before you drop those tags on the guys, only because of injury, as you said, like that, that can change the complexion.
Yeah. And then I guess like finishing out like the rest of the running backs, like Cam Akers, I assume we haven't seen enough to be giving him $20 million a year. Like, Ryan, would you agree with that?
He's so low on my rankings. I can't even tell you. Exactly. I feel like he just lost all of his burst after his injury, and it's
and been, then, yeah. And what are we doing? Like, say if you had to choose between, you know, like DeAndre Swift or Antonio Gibson at $24 million a year, like, quick fire, yes, no, like what would you do on those?
Yeah, I mean I'm a Commanders fan, and I think there's too much uncertainty with Antonio Gibson as A, the role he's going to play, and B, where does he end up after his rookie contract is up within Washington. You got a new offensive coordinator come in, I'd probably say no on Gibson. I would definitely do it on DeAndre Swift. And even if he gets traded, I know there's been some mullings of like, is he a good fit in Detroit? I think he's too talented of a back not to. I actually just gave him an extension in
one of my other leagues. At $37 million also, or only at the 24?
You know what? I still have DeAndre Swift ranked pretty high in my rankings from a running back perspective. Okay. So I probably would still, you know, 37 is where it starts to get a little bit pricey depending on what league you're in. But right now I have him as my like running back 11 from a dynasty perspective. I'd probably be inclined to give it to him just to make sure that it's, you know, someone that's locked into my league and my roster.
And that's good to hear from Ryan. Just a quick thing there, Goody. That's good to hear from Ryan because actually he has, if you have Swift at 11, that's like a couple slots below consensus. But that's the other thing for me. I think you're asking about the right running backs, but if you look at the dynasty running back landscape right now, it gets dicey after right around that like 10, 11, 12 mark. Like you start to really, like then you get into guys that you're alluding to, like J.K. Dobbins is not far below that.
Right, and I saved him intentionally for last. So
yeah,
J.K. Dobbins, you know, obviously had an injury last year, and he had like the worst of all ACL tears, kind of like, you know, Saquon Barkley did. And so I think his narrative kind of most mimics what his potential outcomes like mimic what Barkley's outcomes were, I think, this past season. So like at $24 million, J.K. Dobbins, are we giving him the fifth year based on what we've seen now and what we think he will be with a new coordinator in Baltimore? We don't know what the quarterback is. Say, you know, say Lamar comes back or they have some serviceable replacement for him. What do we think on Dobbins?
I think I would go no, and here's my analysis as to why. I prefer to have that money going into cap. Like we saw what Ryan could do and what any good player can do at auction for any GM when you have the money available to you. We don't know 2 years out for a running back to begin with, any running back, even the ones that we're relatively certain about now. Even look at like the Austin Ecklers or Nick Chubbs of the world. Like 2 seasons from now is a long time for a running back, right? And like that's tough. And so that's what I think I would prefer to have the 24 in my pocket. And worst case scenario, like I just don't see the reward to the risk, right? Like the risk is you lose $24 million and he performs badly. If he does really well and rewards you, like basically you can go pay for that again at auction, probably between, in the worst case scenarios we've always talked about, like between 30 and 40 million, depending on the league. And so what are you gaining? Like a $6 million savings, like a $14 million savings, if that's worth it to you. And if you think that that's worth it relative to what the cap's going to be in 2 years, for sure. But if not, I'd prefer just to like let him play and maybe pay up for him if I actually like him, because he's still kind of under your control, right? You can still control whether or not he goes back into the market.
And I would, with someone with like that, I also look at like in mid-season, if I really, really like him, you know, I'm happy to extend him again if he's starting to look like he's back to his normal self. Because even that leg that he tore the ACL on, like it never looked right when he was running last season. So I'd have major concerns. But then you look at like, if you look at all the running backs in the back half of the season, I don't know, he only played 4 games from week 10 through 18. But in those games he was playing, he only averaged 11.8 points in a PPR league, which is like, you know, behind guys like AJ Dillon, Jamal Williams, even Latavius Murray. So when you start talking about that elite dollars that you would kind of necessitate with that tag, and that average of the top 10 there. I don't think I would be as comfortable giving it to someone with Dobbins with the injury history and just the lack of performance last year when he was healthy.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. And it's, I don't know, Goody. I think the running backs are honestly the toughest call. There's in my league that's really running back starved. I'm looking at the $37 million for Etienne, and it's like, I'm like, that's a lot of money for Travis Etienne. You know, like the same mm-hmm. logic is applied. Like, he's healthy now, and I like the Jacksonville situation way more than I did a year ago. But man, I could see myself waiting out and just being like, okay, I'll just deal with paying for him if I have to.
Yeah, and then there's the fear with Doug Peterson. Like, is he going to just keep beating him like he's the workhorse, or is he going to grab somebody in the draft like he did in, you know, Philadelphia? Even there was decent timeshares always when he was there. So it's just that, you know, there's so much unknowns, but running backs I feel a little bit more comfortable with, just because, like, if you do buy that extra year, you know, you're pushing down through their, like, you know, peak points of their years of being a solid running back before they age out. And that's always the thing that I think, Luke, you and I always kind of sit on, is like, I don't want to be given a 4-year extension to a guy and be paying a running back top dollars at age 29 or 30 when they're coming due. And that's always the reason why I like that. Just like, okay, maybe I overpay a little bit on some of these running backs, but it's for 1 year. It's not that 4-year commitment that I need to worry about. If they blow up and they're great, still under control with the franchise tag.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's quickly go over receivers. I assume the only one we're given 30 plus million to is Lamb potentially, and certainly Jefferson. So I think that we can move on from that quick. And then on the quarterback side, in a super flex, I assume we're comfortable giving $35 million a year to Herbert and Burrow. Tua's injury stuff, like that makes it probably a tougher decision there, I would think.
Yeah, the only caveat is I think you got to look at that landscape again and just say, okay, where are these guys going to stack up in the rankings? Are they a top one or two guy in the league next year? If so, then it's a smash on that. If not, and they're in my plans to extend, I might be able to get them cheaper on the extension if they're not in that, you know, performing by week five in the top tier there.
And the caveat I would add too is, as far as wide receivers go, as you pointed out, if you were in a league where Higgins snuck into the first round, I mean, he doesn't get talked about it, but he is a top 10 wide receiver in Dynasty right now in most rankings, and he's attached to a better quarterback situation than most. If they extend him, which I anticipate they will, like, that's the latest coming out of there, is that he's no longer on the market, and we'll see if they put the money where they've been putting their mouth. I mean, I don't mind paying T. Higgins attached to Joe Burrow, frankly.
Let me ask you guys a question, because I do see Higgins ranked pretty heavily in a lot of leagues, and I think there's uncertainty about, like, the long term of where he ends up, you know, with Cincinnati, their upcoming cap situations. They got to pay Burrow. Is Higgins, are they going to pay him and Chase both wide receiver one money, or do they got to pick or choose one or the other? Are you taking Higgins over guys like DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, Michael Pittman, DJ Moore's of the world, or, you know, where do you kind of see Higgins shake out with that group there?
Metcalf is the only one of that bunch that I would put in the same category as, and I would debate it, but I think I would prefer Metcalf. I just love his physical freak nature and, like, the upside there. But yeah, and I'm a huge Terry McLaurin fan, probably less so than my guy on the pod here, Ryan, but, like, I love that guy, and I think he's wonderful. And frankly, DJ Moore, I've been in the trenches with Goody on this one. I've thought he was better than, but now that he's a Bear, I can feel my love waning, just dissipating, mm-hmm. just like unrequited. But yeah, so those two, not so much. I just don't, sadly, I don't think their organizations are putting them in a position to succeed. And I do think that with DK Metcalf, if you ask me in a few months from now, I assume that the Seahawks not only have Geno Smith on the roster, but I think they're going to pick one in the draft with that high pick too. So I think they're going to have a succession plan in place for him.
Yeah, only thing that scares me there a little bit is, like, I think some of those names have a little bit more stability within the organization that they're in, whereas, like, Higgins, you don't know where he's going to land. So it's funny. I mean, I'm probably a little bit biased there, but I do have guys like Metcalf, McLaurin, Garrett Wilson, kind of some of those guys above Higgins, and then I have Pittman and Moore right below him there.
Yeah, I think you're, I mean, you're certainly in, like, Garrett Wilson is easily, I mean, I haven't seen him lower than like 8 or 9. Like, he's definitely like higher. He's leapfrogged Higgins in most people's consensus. But those other guys are tiers below, in many, many estimations in our industry, like, to be honest. And I don't know if that's fair. But I think that stability with a given organization, I mean, frankly, like, you and I both know, me living here in DC, stability with the Commanders organization doesn't necessarily bode well for a player, right? Like, that's the problem. Like, and yeah, I mean, that's the trouble, I think. And I'm excited for Commanders fans as much as the next guy. I hope that they actually give Howell a chance, and I think that kid will throw it to him, which is all you want, basically. So.
Speaking of Commanders, I have to drop this because this person who just tweeted at me, Rick Dykstra, has like the world's best timing. So he says he tweeted me. He said, "We only need to fill the Washington Commanders in our new 32-team league on Reality Sports Online. Any chance you can help spread the word? $50 dues plus RSO's fee, but multiple and then in all caps weekly payouts." So first off, like, Crouchick, I gotta tee this up to you. Is the Washington Commanders the only team in a 32-team league? So I know you got another little one coming on the way, but
We might have
tee
to
that.
talk online. I might have to be
Yeah, so tee that up to, so I will retweet this now and say that came up on and then I put it on the pod. But I'm mentioning it on the pod, Rick Dykstra, hopefully no relation to Lenny Dykstra for obvious
my
reasons. And just wanted to like break news to you first because it's the Commanders crowd, so
That's funny. That's funny.
just like the world's best timing, right?
Hey,
These guys,
I
so
do think with
yeah.
Bieniemy coming in, I think that's a potentially fun one. But I don't know if I'd be betting money that that team's gonna outperform 31 others from a fantasy perspective. But could be fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah, those 32 team RSO leagues are wild as well. Like, it is a trip and a half, as you might imagine, negotiating with 31 other GMs. It definitely satisfies the trade itch, I will say that much. So, like, there's always somebody.
Although if Robinson goes 16 of the Commanders, that might be looking like a not too bad spot to be in.
Exactly. All right, gentlemen. Well, listen, like, this is good stuff. I'm glad that we were back on the mic. We're going to be bi-weekly coming together, at least this crew, trying to talk through strategy. We'll be way more engaged on social media. You can find me at fantasy doc ock, and we'll be soliciting questions. We're going to be working through your all about reality specific questions, engaging with other elements of the dynasty community and the redraft elements as the season approaches us. But right now, we've got rookies to talk in the days to come. We've got to anticipate where they're going to land, see some of those like real life landing spots. But yeah, glad to be bo with both you gentlemen. A heartfelt congratulations, Ryan. And I've licked my wounds and moved on. So, ready for another season.
You'll get me this year. It's all good,
Hey,
man. We'll go back and forth. We'll trade punches.
that's the hope, right? That's the hope. That's fun for everybody to watch the Creed Rocky thing going down. Like, so. And then, Goody, where can they find you at, brother?
They can find me at Matt Goody 2 on the Twitter machine. And yeah, I know, looking forward to a lot of exciting stuff. Well, free agency starting very soon in the NFL. Potential mercurial quarterback, sometimes truculent with the media, potentially headed to the media capital of the world. We'll see what happens there, and lots of other interesting potential moves. I've seen Brandon Cooks potentially reuniting with his quarterback in city where I was born, and some other things. So I am happy to see Keenan Allen like stay, that the Chargers be able to work those contracts and restructure a little bit and keep Keenan Allen in house. He was definitely a beast down the stretch last year, and I just want to see what Herbert does with his receivers.
Awesome. And champ, where what about you? You mentioned to us we can go looking for you on Redskins Twitter and also, or pardon me, Redskins coming out of the past.
Oh,
he'll be
Commanders
doing that for a
Twitter.
decade.
Yeah.
Commanders Twitter
Commanders Twitter.
at what Gibbs, like Joe Gibbs, GIBBS FF at what Gibbs FF. That's the the spot to take it at.
Well, so. Awesome. It's so good. This comeback has been great, gentlemen. Don't call it a comeback like the Vikings' historic comeback this past season. The biggest overcome deficit that brought us Goody back in the All About Reality League. My sweet prince, Adam Thielen, is no longer a Viking, so I'm sad on that note to go out. But I will say, gentlemen, we are back together. We're going to be coming at you with All About Reality, talking reality sports online throughout the course of the season. And this is the new season of All About Reality.